Welcome back. My name is Omar Muhammad, host of the Breakthrough Podcast and helping you improve and progress in business and in life. The Breakthrough Podcast is brought to you by the Minority Business Development Agency, EDAC, and Morgan State University. And EDAC stands for the Entrepreneurial Development and Assistance Center. So that's why you see we call it EDAC. This is a long title. And over there is my co-host.
The third, Mr. Leon Robinson here. Co-host of the Breakthrough Podcast, CEO and founder of the Benji Group as well, and a Morgan alumni and returning citizen also. So thanks for being here.
All right, man, I gotta start saying that too. I'm not a returning citizen, but I am a Morgan alum.
You are so a Morgan alum. Matter
of fact.
And you're the director of the EDAC program too.
Yes, there you go. So you got your hat on, have my Morgan hat on. I'm going to take it off in a minute, but I'm wearing it now. So before we get to our special guest, you can follow us on Instagram at Ride Small Biz. You can learn anything about the Ride program. We have some new initiatives. We have our specialized training. Well, let me back up. We have, of course, the podcast. We have our continuing education. We have our meetups. So now we're going to start doing meetups for individuals who are thinking about starting a business and for those who are currently in business. So we'll do that as well. We have our annual event that's coming up, but that won't be until next year. We partner with the Returning Citizen Magazine. So if you are a returning citizen out there, you're looking to be in the magazine, please reach out to me. My email is omar@edacmorgan.com. And again, that's edacmorgan.com. And one of the things that I'm super excited about is we have a specialized training program called the Rehab Project. It's really teaching brothers and sisters how to get involved in a rehab industry. And that's going to be working with Leon Dungy. Leon's been on here before. He's a returning citizen. And he has a successful development company. So we'll be working with him on that. So without further ado, let's bring up our special guest. And our special guest today is Jeanette Graham. Hey, Jeanette, welcome to the Breakthrough Podcast.
Good afternoon, everyone. I don't have my Eagles hat on today, but I will next time, all right?
It's all HBCU, right?
Right. Eagles the football. Since you got the football, I'm an Eagles fan.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, you said Eagles. I missed that. Yeah, yeah, no, University of Maryland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Not the Philadelphia Eagles, Leon.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the Philadelphia Eagles. That's a big
Yeah. I am a Philadelphia Eagles football fan. Yeah. Gotcha. And I wore that hat all day yesterday. I'm just saying, that's the hat. Memo.
You got a great crowd. Y'all doing good this season.
Y'all going good. So as you know, the Breakthrough Podcast is really all about returning citizens. You know, how can we provide them with resources to help them discover new pathways? And we always bring on a formerly incarcerated individual who's an entrepreneur now and a resource organization. So today we happen to interview you about your company. So let's talk about your company, No Struggle, No Success. You know, why this particular company and what do you do?
Okay, so thanks for having me. I am the president of No Struggle, No Success, and I operate the youth and adult reentry program. Mm-hmm. Why I started the organization is because I was directly affected by someone in my household being incarcerated. My father was incarcerated. My son, age 15, was sentenced to 25 years in prison. He served 7.5 years. He was sentenced from a charge that happened in juvenile justice at age 15 in Frederick County, Maryland. And then, of course, I had an uncle who did 38 years in prison only for him, and he's our oldest living relative, and he did 38 years only for them to tell him, I'm sorry, I messed up your trial. Miscarriage of justice, which was exact words that was said to him. And so when you have a son, a former spouse, a father, and an uncle, all Black men in one household throughout my childhood, they were missing because they were caught in illegal and criminal systematic poison, as I call it, their system, being messed up. I just didn't understand working. I was told to grow up, work, go to school, buy a house. in between of all of that American dream, it didn't fit that you wouldn't have male role models to guide you through that process. When it was, I was able to navigate with my uncle being away. I was able to navigate with my father being away. However, my son, I couldn't deal with it. Yeah. Something had to stop. I was looking for a reentry program that was going to give full wraparound services in the state of Maryland, because he went away when he was 13, charged at 15. He was recently released 5 months ago.
Wow.
So
thank God. Congrats.
He's 22 now. Thank you. 22 yeah. now. But the 7.5 years, he did not do that time alone. Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, I was broken. But during that time, I still had enough fight in me and reliance on God that I was able to develop this organization to say, look, when he come home, he was not going to be this child anymore. He was going to be this adult. And then I found during my pilot program where it was an education piece. It was a support piece. It was finding community-based resources that was all missing. Everybody was doing something, but people was not together. And it wasn't geared to just 22-year-olds. It wasn't geared to 65-year-olds that was in prison coming home. So NSNS was birthed. We've been serving the community since 2018. We became official 501c in 2020. And so we serve 220 individuals per year, ages 11 to 65. Our oldest client actually is 85, where he served 55 years in prison. Wow. And he's been home for 8 months now. But that was the reason why I was a fighting Black mother, wanting answers and wanting help to get my son out. And I was able to accomplish that. During that time, I realized I had to serve and help 311 Black men before I could get to my son. And it's humbled me, it's kept me grounded. I've learned a lot. I'm now found what my why was. My why is to be in community outreach. My why is to be in a reentry population and serve them.
That's awesome. I love how you turned your trauma of your son leaving and obviously your other family members going into prison into a purpose, you know? And I think a lot of women can be inspired by that, you know? Having a child go to prison and using that trauma of that hurt and that pain of seeing your son go to prison, like that's devastating, but you turned that negative into a positive, and we're very blessed to know you and thankful for you.
Thank you. If you ever get a chance to go out to our website or even come and visit us in person, the logo or the name No Struggle No Sex came from my son, actually. Okay. He was doing 23-1 for 2 years. And during that time, he created this name, No Struggle No Success. And he was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I think to get away from gangs and group influence, I may come up with, you know, clothes, or maybe I'll come up with automobile things. He had all these kind of entrepreneurship kind of, you know, ideas. And so during that time, I said, listen, I'll invest in you first. I'll buy this name from you. When you come home, I'll invest into vocational and marketing materials for you, but I'll use this name for adult reentry program youth. And he was like, really? So during a time that he was only able to call me once a week for 30 minutes in solitary confinement, we sat and we talked. And we developed a business plan for you for the youth side of our program. So we have two components, the youth side, of course, from 11 to 24 year olds. And then we have 24 and up reentry adult services. And so I took that name and I wear it every day, all day. It's in my heart, in my mind, when I speak, it's connected to me, it's connected to him, and it's connected to everyone that becomes a program participant of ours, where you may graduate from the program, or you may came in and said, I only need an ID, or I needed a job, or I needed a help with my business plan, or I need mental health or substance abuse. Any of those services that we offer here, they become a part of that reentry community, where they can come to Omar, they can come to Leon, they can come to an Unger who's been home 10 years plus, because we do hire, and we also hire them as well here, because it's long-term. This doesn't just stop. Once you come out of prison, there's a whole new life for you. It's completely different. When I talk to individuals every day, all day, and they say, where were you when I came home? Where
were you? I'm like, we just heard that. Yeah.
Where were you? And I'm like, I'm here now. I'm so sorry. And we still can help. So if I can't, I know I sit on several committees where you can work with other individuals if you've been home longer than, you know, our program guidelines. So I left corporate America in November. I left Lifebridge Health.
November of what?
2021.
Okay, 2021.
23 years in corporate America, working for C-level executives, writing grants in the healthcare and technology industry. And now I use what I've learned, setting all these board members and soaked up different lifestyles and stuff and came together and said, I'm gonna have to make this work for us.
Well, I was preparing you for no struggle, no success, you know? So how can we, how can the community who wanna be a part of what you're doing help? Because obviously, you know, you wanna, it's all about impact and outcome. Like, how can we support, or any listeners that wanna support what you got going on, what can they do to support? And what things do you need to get, you know, no struggle, no success to the next level?
Question. Okay. Thank you for even allowing to ask that question, because most people hear and then don't ask. So thank you for that. So first, if you have someone that's currently incarcerated, they have a parole hearing or a sentence modification, like an 8505, a JRA, Juvenile Restoration Act, or any type of post-conviction hearing, or an anticipated release date coming up in the next 6 months, they're eligible for our program. We go inside the prisons, interview that individual, ensure that they actually do have a solid home plan, not just an address. Right. We provide all services. We will present that at that hearing or that court hearing, because we do testify, provide testimony for them. What we look for is that if they're currently incarcerated, understand what reentry really means. And they can, any of their loved ones, it could be a spouse, a child, mothers fighting just like I was, an uncle, anybody, they can go to our website and look at our guidelines for those. Those are the primary ways.
What's the website? Jeanette, what's your website?
No struggle, no struggle, no success.org.
Okay. I'm sorry. So I want people if they're talking, they can see your website.
Yeah. www.nostrugglenosuccess.org. Okay. There is program forms, and you'll see something that says guidelines. So the first part is education and bringing awareness that there is a reentry program out here that do help solidify a reentry home plan to your parole, to your lawyer, to the judge, to get you home in the best way. We can't guarantee anything, but we'll do say, listen, if you allow this individual to come home and grant them release, they have a program for 18 months and then some to assist them with structured routine.
Yeah.
That's one component, just bringing awareness and letting people know that we exist. The other part, if an individual has been home less than 6 months, they can come into the program. So they, you know, we didn't catch them when they were, incarcerated. Now that they're home, they still lack an ID. They still lack something going on mentally. They're looking for more education. They're looking for community-based services around entrepreneurship, technology. Most of them been gone for 10 plus years and don't know what a cell phone really looks like and what it works, how to have proper social media etiquette. You know, they post and are looking at certain things. Those could be temptations, or could be good or bad, depending on how they're using it. We also offer that type of training. Health education, knowing how to activate their medical assistance, insurance, assigning them to a primary care provider, showing them how to get life insurance, bank account information. They can come here and take a shower and get a haircut, change of clothes is here as well. All these services are done right on site at 2025 Maryland Avenue. Absolutely. So
awesome.
The idea is to remove the excuse of saying that you want to.
That's what I was going to say. Like, there's no excuse. Like, so this, your program absolutely has and will continue to lower the recidivism rate, period. Like, because the support is there, the programs are there, the resources are there, you know, and, you know, I'm going to continue to support, but yeah, definitely love what you got going on at No Struggle.
And that's our mission. That's our mission, is to remove the excuses. So you can't say that you didn't have anybody helping you or mentoring you in these efforts. Even though your sister can do it, your mother can help you, they're learning it from navigating just at life. It's very much different from somebody being incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we want that family support and that family unification piece, but it's helpful to have somebody that walked in those steps. So if you guys are familiar with the Ungers versus Maryland case, where they let out 200 individuals in 2015, they work either at Safe Streets, YAP, or different other advocacies, maybe lobbying and policy changing. Well, I've hired three of them. So they've been home, and collectively it was 199 men and one Black woman that was incarcerated, and they served collectively 1900 years. Some of them were, they didn't get a fair trial in many different cases. And so they've been released. They come, they mentor, they guest speakers here. They're respected because sometimes I can never tell someone else in Ponce what it feels like. I can tell you what it is to put commissary. I can tell you what it takes when I have to stop everything I'm doing to answer a phone call. I can tell you what it feels like to be disrespected by a security, a correctional officer, but I can't tell you what it is to really be behind a wall, even though I was affected by it. So I think it's important for my organization to have 50-50. So 50% of my staff are returning citizens. The other ones are individuals like me that were directly affected by it. Mm. And so education, bringing awareness to it is help. And of course, we always like two other things. One, volunteers and interns. We love those. So we have different areas of our organization that can use that. And then of course, meaningful partnerships. So I'm familiar with Omar and the EDAP. So moving soon, we'll be referring many of our returning citizens entrepreneurs to you guys. So we have a 6-week course where we break down their business plan, show them exactly what it should look like. And we kind of use the interns to help the technology piece and social media piece. Mm-hmm. We put them in front of financial institutions. But I think that step further is then having that meaningful connection with a partnership that actually that's what you specialize in. Right. So after we get all their IDs and credit and stuff together and get their thoughts on paper correctly, then they have something to present to you guys and you guys can continue to work from there. So I can't wait to start sending people you guys way.
We got some for you as well. I mean, we actually are providing resources to organizations like yours to, have either me or one of my team members come in and just do I call it a boot camp, a 3-hour boot camp, teach them what you basically just said about entrepreneurship, doing your business plan, and they can pitch for funding. And then they still will have, an opportunity to get additional resources, like mentorship or, meeting people like Leon or some other individuals who have come through our program. So, it's interesting, I'm new to the returning citizen industry, but I'm not new to it because my brother, my cousins, people, that I've grown up. We interviewed somebody. I was like that person. I saw my brothers and my cousins and my older brother's friends. I'm like, man, I'm gonna be just like that. They said, no, you're not.
Right.
You're gonna do that school stuff, and we're gonna be out here on the streets. I'm familiar with working with individuals who were formerly incarcerated. And I don't see this as competition. What you do and what I do, it's more. It's a whole bunch of folk out there.
I can't do it alone.
Exactly.
We got to do this together to get these crime rates down, to get these people from going big out of prison. No, I can say I have 5 sons. My oldest is 31. My youngest is 12. None of them have interacted with law enforcement but my 22-year-old. So they went to college. So it's always just as a character is addressing childhood, trauma. So somebody held on to you, just like somebody held on to me. It was some things that I'm not proud of that I've done in my past. And somebody said, you know what? Let me grab you. Yeah. Let me hold on to you. And I can say, yes, I've been in trouble and I've been attacked on the hand clean. I'm like, no, jail not for me, prison not for me. But I had somebody gave me that strength to push forward, that second chance, that real second chance. I would like to say that we don't condone when someone goes to prison and do something, because at the end of the day, that victim and that victim's family was very much affected. Yeah. And even they was, because when I listened to these, especially the men, they were 15, 16, 17, sometimes 21 when they did that crime. And now they're 50, 60, and 70 years old. They went in and said, I'm gonna rob somebody, but someone got murdered. The intent was not to wake up that day and hurt someone. However, it happened. Even if it was just robbery, you took something from somebody. Yeah. So when we say a second chance, we're saying that we're using what we can and navigating through the legal and criminal system for a way for you to come home. You're still accountable for your actions. You're still accountable for the lifestyle that you chose, your association that you chose, with the educational lack of or resources. Mm-hmm. We're not judging you again. The judge already did that. Now you have the opportunity to come home. We're saying, now let's remove that excuse. Let's remove that barrier. Let's identify what's going on. Self-healing. And then, of course, ensuring that you are apologetic to what took place at the at that level, of course, not touching certain things that you're gonna hold, just, you know, get you caught back up, you know, kind of thing. But really just stepping on and saying, you know what, I know better, so I do better. And that's what we're looking at for the future for them. So when I can proudly say that an SNS has a 98.3 success rate, it's simply because we invest in them, and all we ask for is their time. We don't charge for anything in our program. Everything is free. Right. But we ask for their time. That's the most important thing. The idea is to be sure that you're alive and free. And being alive doesn't mean that you're breathing, but it's also living healthy and having some healthy boundaries there, and that you have a structured routine. And organizations like yours and mine, or people that just want to, you know, be available to them. But also understand that we are very sympathetic and respectful to the victim and their family as well.
Absolutely. You know, so it seemed like you have a whole wraparound service. I mean, unlike what we have, I mean, we're good at the entrepreneurship piece. And if somebody comes to me and they're looking for housing, food, shelter, food, and employment, because entrepreneurship may not be right for them, and clothing, you know, so I'm referring them out. You know, both of us are on this other committee that we're on. I'm referring them out. And, you know, and I'm glad that we're all together, because we all have different capabilities, and, you know, I know my lane.
Yeah,
you know?
We all provide our value. We all provide different value, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And we're working together for the benefit of those individuals, giving them a, you know, you mentioned a second chance. You know, we always say a different pathway. Right. I'm glad that we're connected with that. You know, one of the things I do see individuals, whether you are a returning citizen or not, just being an entrepreneur, just being a person. Entrepreneurs are people too, y'all. So let me rephrase that. Just being somebody who's not, you know, formally incarcerated, but, you know, being an entrepreneur or working for somebody else, mental health, especially over the last couple of years, have played has had an impact on all of us. You know, what is your organization, No Struggle, No Success, doing as it relates to mental health?
So from NSNS, it's a requirement to be in our program to have a therapist. So we assign you a therapist the moment that you are released. So within the first 7 days, you're evaluated for substance abuse and mental health. The type of trauma that is exposed to you while in prison, some men will never share their experience, will never tell me as a woman, or never tell another man what took place. But they need somebody to talk to. And we need licensed, you know, therapists to be available to them. So there's mandatory throughout their time there that they meet weekly with their therapist. And they also get evaluated for substance abuse. I will tell you that, no, I wasn't incarcerated, and I still talk to my therapist twice a week. I still was affected some way. I have a father who, I'm Cuban. I'm a first generation Cuban American. So dealing with, you know, the citizenship and being deported and being in prison, and the exposure to drugs and violence from him. And then, of course, my son, his father actually is currently serving 85 years in prison as well. So just being a single mother at one point and getting remarried, and those blended family challenges, leaving corporate America and becoming my own entrepreneur, that sacrifice that, you know, I had to take and continue to thrive as an entrepreneur and stay on it and be consistent. I need a therapist. Mental health, I have my own childhood adversities that I need to address. So I don't think anybody should ever be embarrassed at all. Absolutely. Seeking mental health counseling, medication management if it's needed as well. And also when you are pulling back those layers of trauma and the triangle of a victim, yourself, and everybody else that's affected by the decision-making, all that stuff needs to be sorted out. And there's some great service providers out there, but NSNS has two organizations that we use that link up. So if you are in transitional housing, you get it group settings. And if you are home with family or living on your own, there's a therapist available to you.
I love that. Then, you know, congratulations to you, you know, with that, you know, with your organization and with you as well. You know, I too, you know, I'm not Superman. Sometimes I think that I'm Superman. So, you know, the Mr. Improve and Progress needs somebody to talk to too, you know, because otherwise it would drive me crazy. Yeah. So holding all this in. So you started a nonprofit, and was it 2020?
Yeah.
All right. And you're serving, you know, close to 250 people a year. That's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. And Leon already asked the good question, as a nonprofit organization, that's making, working with this type of that number of individuals, what assistance do you need? So I heard volunteers, interns, meaningful partnerships. Are there any other resources that you may need? And I know you have a board, right?
Yes, there's 9 people on our board. So of course, we always love money donations. I have to be honest.
We was waiting for you to say donations, please.
So, yes, we do. So a part of telling who I am, what we do, is what we need, So of course, education, of course, volunteer, but you are welcome to donate. If you go to our website, it says, thanks for giving.
Get that website out again. So
www.nostrugglenosuccess.org. There's a tab that says, thank you for giving. You can give to the adults, you can give to the youth, or you can give to the community closet. And that community closet is the hygiene kits, the household and clothing and shoes to support anyone that's returning home or homeless youth. You can get the tax write-off, donation letter as well. We do thank you. We do swag gear to say thank you. If you want your name on stuff, we do that as well. But yes, we love money. We are 100% grant funded. But along with that, if money can't be, we enjoy your time and donate your time and also connected with other organizations that can help. Yes, we are a full service, but Omar, you guys do entrepreneurship. So we do it at one level. You guys can take it to the next level. If there's social workers or psychiatrists that's available to, jump on board as well. We're hiring 2 positions as well. We always look for guest speakers for our younger people so they can see that there are people that want to give back to the community. I have a lot of guys who say, if somebody would have held on to me or talked to me, I wouldn't allow experience to be the best teacher. I would allow their experience to be the best teacher. So having people, guest speakers, and give their testimony as well. So yes, we love money. We love money.
I can definitely say that I would love to be a guest speaker, as a returning citizen, as a Morgan alum, that wants to give back, that's also an entrepreneur. Would definitely love to connect with you and see how I can be a guest speaker or, volunteer. And I know you said you had 2 available positions that you're hiring for. What positions are you hiring for at your organization?
One is a peer advocate. So a peer advocate is a beginner mentor who helps them learn how to get on a bus, how to utilize the, generate an email address for them, and also connect match resources to them. So if someone is coming home from prison and they have a GED or a high school diploma, but they want to go to college, how to fill out that FAFSA form, how to get letters of recommendation. A peer advocate is that connects with our community workers. They go out to the schools with them. We have 4 Baltimore City schools that we go to once a week for those who show early warning indicators that they could go into that pipeline up to prison. We're trying to prevent that. Right. So the youth side is, hey, let's catch you before you enter the adult prison system. And if you are a juvenile offender, what can we do to lessen that time so you do not go to the adult prison system? And if you're an adult, then we have guest speakers or peer advocates that work with you to have somebody that you can call Monday through Friday and even on weekends and just say, hey, listen, I'm thinking about opening up a business. What are your thoughts? Or, hey, I'm looking to apply for this job. What else should I prepare for? So peer advocates help mentor that. Gotcha. Everything is driven off of mentorship.
I love that. I see so many opportunities where we can, here at Morgan State University, we can work with you on that. I mean, we have a school of social work here and, Dr. Paul Archibald, he's kind of our resident social worker, so he's been helping us out with a lot of things. So yeah, there's some collaboration and I'm glad you are here.
For sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, congratulations on the work that you're doing as well. All right, any final thoughts as we come to an end? Any final thoughts? Any last ask?
Well, okay, so we speak about entrepreneurs. I know that sometimes you guys do spotlight, on certain entrepreneurs. So we have 3 guys who have their LLC now, business licensing and insurance, and are thriving in the community. And they have served 20 years in prison or more. Aaron Holly, He told me I could say his name. So Aaron Holly did 19 years. He is an author. He has a book called Bullying for Kids. The book is like $12. So I will be sending you those links for that individual.
Yeah, Timothy Pittman. Have them fill out the form. We can get them in the magazine as well as on the podcast.
Okay. Yeah. So I will share that with you. In addition, Timothy Pittman, he started, he did 17 years in prison, came home, and him and his son started security work. He was, he went away trying to protect someone, domestic violence, and actually caught the murder charge. And so now he learned how to do self, you know, the correct form of defending, and then, you know, weapons training and all those kind of things. And so he landed his first hospital contract, you know, teaching, you know, healthcare workers how to protect themselves with IRA patients.
That's what's good. Off the fence. Yeah.
And then without further, Stanley Mitchell, he is my program director. He does a lot of consulting on the side of reentry. And so he did 38 years in prison. He is my uncle. That's that uncle that I was referring to. I was adopted. So for many years, I was in Maryland by myself with my kids. When I found out I had a whole uncle here, he has dedicated his entire life. And he is the spokesman for the Unger versus Maryland case, if you ever look that up. So he now does a lot of reentry consultation that's available. So that's his line of business. And his is called Alive and Free. That's where that came from. And so those three men, I admire and I adore the work that they do. And I'm grateful to have them a part of NSNS as a participant and as a team. And I will tell you that just ask questions. There's a lot of people that's doing great things out here. Please allow the grassroots organizations to get, you know, their credit. We don't care about the data. We have enough research out here. Now it's time for work and change. And so I welcome anybody, you know, to stop by, come visit. We don't have to clean up and say we haven't got you. More than welcome to stop by, whatever. Even see our housing units as well. So thank you so much for just having me here to be able to speak and also learn more about you guys as well.
All right. Well, thank you. And what, once again, the website and how can people reach out to you?
Yes. The website is called nostrugglenosuccess.org. We are located at 2025 Maryland Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland, 21218, Charles Village. We're centrally located purposely. And the office number is 443-869-6997. You can catch us on Facebook and Instagram and even LinkedIn. No Struggle, No Success.
All right, good deal. Well, we really appreciate you for the work that you're doing. You know, we definitely will. I see a lot of synergies there, you know, to really to help each other out. So I'm looking forward to that. All right, Leon, any final thoughts and how can people reach out to you?
My final thoughts are, you know, everyone just continue to keep doing what they're doing. Definitely grateful for the guests we had today. And if you guys want to reach me, you can find me on social media, Leon B. Robinson IV. Or you can also follow my business page, The Benji Group. I am the CEO of The Benji Group, which is a real estate team with Keller Williams Legacy. We service all residential and commercial in the DMV area.
All right, good deal. And y'all know me, Omar Muhammad. I'm putting my Morgan hat back on now. Omar Muhammad, a Morgan alum, also a resource here for entrepreneurs at all levels. You can reach me at edacmorgan.com. And my email is omar@edhcmorgan.com. And don't forget, we're on Instagram at Rise Small Biz, and we'll get the interns to figure out what that Facebook account is. I know it's not Rise Small Biz, but we'll have it next time. So until we meet again, continue to improve and progress. Peace. This is Mixed Media Production.